Hello, everyone. It's your buddy Cranksy back with another edition of Sample Central. This time we're at 018. I've done 18 of these friggin' things so far. Oh, hopefully I got a whole lot more to go for you guys. So, I'm gonna start off with a little bit of news kind of things. Just coming down from watching Novoke yesterday. Which is the modern online interpretation of the classic Evoke demo party. Since it's online this time, sadly called Novoke. It's Novoque. Go check them out on Twitter and whatnot. Ronnie did an absolutely amazing, amazing DJ set out of all of the music entries. There was not a traditional music compo of just playing all the songs one by one. No, they were submitted a little bit early, and he mixed them into one giant DJ set, and it was absolutely freaking amazing. So hopefully that'll be up online somewhere soon. You could probably go back to the Twitch channel, maybe comb through the archives of the previous videos and see if you can find it there. But I'm pretty sure it's got to be up on YouTube or scene.org. Or on Ronnie's SoundCloud or something like that soon. Unfortunately, I don't have a link right now. I was just looking for it and I can't find it. But please go check it out if you haven't yet. Some of the music entries were just awesome. I'm pretty sure quite a few of them were actually tracked. I know of at least one that was tracked on an Amiga. So I'm going to reach out to him at some point and probably feature that on the show in a later edition. So we can play all of the tracked music entries from this compo. But seriously, go check that out. Any way you can find it. But in some other exciting news for you fellow vinyl collectors like myself, Hoffman is releasing his greatest hits record on vinyl in partnership with the Retro Man Cave. And if you don't know what that is, go check him out on YouTube or on Twitch or on Twitter at The Retro Man Cave, all one word, on I think it's on Twitch. It's The Retro Man Cave. But his Twitter handle is just Retro Man Cave. So go check him out. But if you're unfamiliar with this Amiga scene legend, this would be a great way to jumpstart that journey. So you really need to check out his work if you don't know it. I mean, with the Black Lotus and now Logicoma, on the PC side, as well as various Amiga mod DJ sets at some previous parties. They are nothing short of amazing. So go check out Hoffman. Check out Retro Man Cave. Find Hoffman at DJ Hoffman. And that's HOH0FFMAN. DJ H0FFMAN on Twitter or on SoundCloud /Hoffman H0FFMAN. So that record will be going on sale August 23rd. That's this next Sunday from now when I'm recording this, so hopefully you're hearing this in time to go check that out. And supposedly going to be doing a live stream on that day at The Retro Man Cave on YouTube and Twitch.tv. So go check it out. If you're listening to this after the fact, hey, it's probably already sold out. I don't know. Go check out on Discogs or something. But hopefully there'll be a track list, so even if you miss it, maybe you can go download all the tunes from scene.org or somewhere else and put together your own playlist featuring all of these tunes. I'm excited to see what's on it. I don't even know what's on it. They've been kind of keeping it close to the chest, so we're not sure what we're going to get. But if you know Hoffman's music and you know his skill, this is going to be something to own, even if you don't necessarily collect vinyl. This is a scene collectible, if you will. And it's something I would definitely enjoy spinning here at home very much. And another interesting thing that I've stumbled onto is a cat named Pete Cannon. Well, not exclusively demo scene related, as he makes commercial music and runs his own record label, his latest choice of medium certainly is of interest to us. There's a short film on YouTube showing his use of classic samplers and synths fed into an Amiga 1200 using Octamed to make classic jungle tunes. It's worth a watch, and the tunes he's producing are quite good. Check out the video on YouTube at the Sound on Sound magazine channel with the title Retro Jungle Production with Pete Cannon. Or simply head over onto his Twitter at Pete Cannon Beats, B-E-A-T-S, or his Bandcamp page at n4records.bandcamp.com. And that's the letter N, the number 4, records, all one word, .bandcamp.com. It's worth checking out.
This is the Artist Spotlight.
Speaking of people I've stumbled onto wandering around Twitter, this here is the Artist Spotlight. A while back, I had the pleasure to run into a musician named Mr. Gamer. After exchanging some pleasantries and such, he pointed me to an archive of some of his older tracked music. I had downloaded some of those a while back, and some of the tracks have made their way into my Demo Party After Party streams, and I've enjoyed what I've heard so far. So I'd like to take a moment to talk about him and his music and play a track, as I think he's someone whose music will make it into future episodes in some capacity. Mr. Gamer, aka Andreas Rodin, which coincidentally is his Twitter handle, at Andreas Rodin, and that's Rodin, R-O-H-D-I-N, all one word, is a Swedish musician that has 25 years experience in underground demo scene adjacent music production, with a lot of that work coming from classic PC trackers like Fast Tracker 2, and more recently Renoise, if I recall correctly, with a classic style focusing on a strong sense of melody and emotive chord progressions. He's someone worth digging deep into his catalog. So if you like what you hear, go hit him up on Twitter and check out some more of his stuff. But here's a track by Mr. Gamer, which is just a tiny sample of the high quality and diverse tunes that he's created. This is a 20-channel FastTracker2.xm in just 103 kilobytes. This is Productive Seed by Mr. Gamer. As some listeners may already know, while there is the massive and long-running party called Assembly, there's another party that happens right alongside it. Like, literally. As I imagine it spawned from the lack of booze allowed in the main party, it is lovingly called Boozembly. And in recent years, some seniors have taken it upon themselves to even hold a campo there called Boozedrome. The idea of Boozedrome is simple. It is derived obviously from the Boozembly name and the classic gabber parties and compilations called Thunderdrome. So that's right, kiddies. You guessed it. This is a gabber music compo. Limitations are as such. 4-channel .mod with a max file size of 500 kilobytes and must be able to be played on an Amiga 500 using ProTracker 2.3D. As this is how much of the early hardcore techno in gabber was produced, it is only fitting to stick to these limitations for such a compo. The even more fun part of this compo is that the top 10 songs appear on a very limited run cassette tape. While, of course, this most recent version and all previous versions are all sold out, rumor has it that there is to be a mini-disc version available soon of the most recent compo. So keep an eye out on the boozedrome.bandcamp.com page to catch it, if you can, when it's released. While I was able to snatch a copy of the cassette for myself, even though I entered what I thought was a banging tune, which still slipped out of the top 10. I don't recall the actual number of entries, but the level was extremely high. So we'll go ahead and play the top 3 here. If you even have the most tiny inkling of enjoying this style of music, or even if you don't, head over to the Bandcamp page and check it out. While several places have ties in them, I'm making the executive decision to go ahead and call this third. All of these are, of course, as we mentioned, 4-channel.mod, so in third place, in 333 kilobytes, it's Punch a Nazi Remix by Ricky Martin. Next, we have a chance for me to butcher other languages yet again. It's the first place tie, thus I'm calling it second place. In 511 kilobytes, it's Einsuchit by Aki.
Yeah. Saxophone Dick. Luister.
Thus finishing us up from Booze Drome 3 is a first place tune at 480 kilobytes. Coming back out of retirement for, crap, what did he say, 12 years? I don't remember. Quite a while. It's Kota Vidintintas by Break.
Mate.
another cool thing that happened recently was Flash Party out of Buenos Aires, Argentina. Again, all done online for obvious reasons. That was on July 17th to 19th. There was the usual streamed music compo, which I had to tune in. It was fun. There was also the combined old-school music compo that included C64, NES, and other chip formats, as well as tracked music. While the winning tune by Ace Man is truly wonderful, and you should go check it out, as it's in the NES format, we're going to, you know, not play that one here. So we'll talk about the three that preceded it. So starting out, tied in fourth place is an important public safety message by yours truly. As someone that works in the automotive field and is constantly in contact with customers, I only have one message for you. Don't walk into my shop without a frickin' mask on. So here's your public service message and a theme song for those that feel like they're above it all. It's a 4-channel.IT module made in Schism Tracker, just 216 kilobytes. It's Wear a Mask by Cranksy. The actual third place tune was in a C64 format. Also tied for fourth place was an 11-channel, 81-kilobyte.IT via OpenMPT. It's Unbounded Emotions by D. James. We'll be right back. And in second place in the tracked slash retro music compo at Flash Party 2020, it's a 4-channel dot mod made in ProTracker on an actual Amiga, I was told. At least I'm pretty sure it was ProTracker, but on an Amiga. And clocking in at 22 kilobytes, it's Mellow Explorer by Maze. Alright, folks, it's time for a fun little segment I'm just going to call the Amiga Classics. Grab an old Amiga tune or two and play those for your listening pleasure. This is a tune from 1990, supposedly from an invitro to a party in Drammen in Norway. I don't know what party they would have been. But anyway, it's a tune by Time Traveler and Blackstar. It's 178 kilobytes in 4-channel dot mod, and it's called Blue Stars. got just enough time for fit another one in here. On the Amiga Classics, we have a 432 kilobyte 4-channel mod from the Amiga. It's Beyond Music by Captain. Since this episode is entirely made up from people I happen to meet on Twitter, another is an American from Phoenix, Arizona, named Avi Demetrian Jr. And you can find Avi at avidem.com, that's OVIDEM.com, and Avidem on Twitter. got some really interesting stuff up on his blog, and I suggest you go check him on out. Say hi for me. While not really a musician himself, he is a fan of tracked music, especially Australian Mick Rippon, whose music will be featured heavily for this piece. He wrote a wonderful fictional story about a young tracker that I think many of our listeners, and certainly myself, can relate to at some point in our young lives. This story is called Impulse Tracker by Avi Demetrian Jr., self-published via Indie Isle, March 2nd, 2013, Phoenix, Arizona, USA. Cover design by Avi Demetrian Jr., editing by Jenny Meadows, from My Copy Editor. The outside world is quiet. It's nearly 10 o'clock. Alan looks out the window of his apartment to the city streets below. He sees a couple of people walk towards the video store, Movie Mayhem. Tires hum as cars pass in the distance. A TV flickers behind the closed shades of the apartment building across from his. Despite the hour, people are still doing things. People like Alan who find comfort in staying up late, enjoying a quiet time of solitude without having to give thought to the responsibilities that daytime brings. As he grew up, Alan seems to have less time for private moments during the day, less time to explore things he has in the back of his mind, because there are a million other things which have to be taken care of first. As a kid, he had all the time in the world, especially during the summers. He would watch TV and play video games all day long. He would draw his favorite cartoon characters. He would play on the piano keyboard his parents got him for his birthday. Alan is now 20 years old. The year is 1996. He turns from the window and slowly starts pacing around his small apartment. He is in the main room, with the bedroom being the only other full room besides the bathroom. On the floor, pieces of hardware lie next to his computer, as he recently upgraded it to support playing the latest video game hit, Duke Nukem 3D. He passes a poster on the wall from the movie Hackers, which he got to commemorate moving into his own place a year prior. He walks around a small table in front of his TV set. Next to it is a pile of VHS tapes from Movie Mayhem. Among the movies is Blade Runner, one of his favorites. He especially enjoyed the film's soundtrack, produced by Vangelis. It was the original form of electronic music when the instruments were made into physical machines from scratch and recorded together as traditional instruments. He had managed to get all the tracks off the web since there was no official release of a soundtrack, which he had, of course. But before acquiring the tracks, he would play the film in the background just to listen to the composition. It's what originally inspired him to make his own music. The glow of his computer screen draws his attention. He sits down and uses his mouse to open the music track he's been working on. It has been several months since he finished the previous one. He thinks it's time to wrap up something new to post on the web. This one feels like his best yet. As his music file loads, the screen fills with columns of letters, numbers, lines, and boxes in blue, green, and yellow. To Alan, they are the instruments and notes of his song, carefully arranged and programmed. The music is saved in a format called a mod, a computer file that arranges music in standalone modules. Instruments are essentially snippets of sound imported into the program and arranged into a musical composition. Most producers like Alan, who program mod music, don't have any formal training in music. They just know what sounds good and have fun doing it. Learning by doing and figuring it all out as they go along. Like the way they figured out how to custom build their own computers before that, or ride a bike before that, or build things with Legos even before that. After graduating high school, Alan realized he preferred to learn things on his own. He decided not to go to college. He had read an article in Wired magazine about the coming information age, taking over public schools with what the author called hyperlearning. The author envisioned a future where super-fast broadband internet would make all the information in the world available to everyone, and how the only way to properly prepare students was to teach them knowledge-based work, using computer software that would let students learn on their own. Alan imagined everyone learning on the computer in the future. All information available online. Education packaged in text, image, and video on children's computer screens. Virtual teachers. The kids would decide for themselves when they would play or learn. They would figure out what it was they were interested in on their own and apply themselves to that area. With the internet, it isn't hard to imagine. He is already doing it himself by figuring out how to take apart his computer. He even made his own web page. He presses F5 on his keyboard to play back what he has so far and sits back in his chair. Reaches over to turn on his synthesizer keyboard. His eyes come across a post-it note with "Call Mr. Connors about job offer" written on it. He stops the song and turns in his chair, facing away from the computer, looking into space, thinking. His dad has a friend at Microsoft, whom he convinced to give Alan a job. "It is the start of your career," his parents tell him. And they are probably right. Everyone is getting their own computers now, and Microsoft is quickly becoming one of the most successful companies in the world. The pay is certainly decent, and he could only move up to a better position from there. And it beats the job he has now, working at Pretzel Palace in the mall. The big job is quite the opportunity for him. The problem is, it isn't what Alan wants. The first time he really felt like he was able to make his own decisions was when he got his own apartment. No matter if they were good or bad decisions, they were his own and he would learn from them. And this whole career thing isn't something he wants to commit to. He doesn't like the idea of doing things just because they happen to come his way. His last year of high school, he took a part-time job where his friend worked, on top of working at the school newspaper, the school yearbook, and even being on the chess team. He didn't do particularly well with any of those things because he was barely able to keep up with all of them. But he did learn to think about what he would decide to take on because it usually meant giving up something else. Now, sitting alone to think things through, he has a terrible feeling that he'll be giving up his music. The big important job will take over and make him into a more responsible adult, whatever that means. To get the terrible thought out of his head, he grabs a Coke from the fridge and heads over to his couch to turn on his TV. He flips through the channels with a look of disinterest on his face. He eventually stops on the nightly news with a reporter speaking. "Musicians rely more and more on computers to make music for them, which begs the question, is it really music if a computer is what generates it?" The camera pans out to show the reporter with another man who, from the leather jacket he's wearing, appears to be in a band. The news reporter asks, "Is electronic music destroying the craft of making music with traditional instruments?" The musician replies, "Look, man, the computer is just another instrument itself, or like an infinite number of sounds as instruments. It still needs someone to tell it how to make music. What's the difference between someone playing a piano and a synthesized keyboard that's connected to a computer?" Alan smiles. He turns off the TV and goes back to his computer. He takes a sip of his Coke and is ready to get back to work on his track. The electronic music Alan produces represents a part of himself. His style, his view of the world, his unique personality are written within the synthesized electronic bits. There is a certain intensity to it that reflects the way he feels about things in the best form he can describe them. Alan's music application of choice is called Impulse Tracker. When Alan is programming his music, he has total focus, a sort of tunnel vision. He exercises his analytical side and his creative side in complete harmony. Impulse Tracker makes that possible. It is an extension of him. The impulses of sound come together the way the electronical impulses in his brain work together. They are a reflection of his life. Impulses of important moments. Each time he built something with Legos as a kid, an impulse. A good video game he was playing, an impulse. A memorable moment with a friend, an impulse. Each time he completes a song, an impulse. It is now past midnight. Alan needs a break. He opened his internet connection to surf the web. 3 minutes later, he is online and opens up his email program. He skims new emails as they come in and reads one with the subject line, "Details of data entry position," sent from Joseph P. Connors, his dad's friend at Microsoft. He clicks on it and starts reading. It ends with, "I will see you Monday morning." That is tomorrow. Alan starts to feel nervous again. He thinks about what this job means to his parents. He thinks about his friends going to college in hopes of getting good jobs. He thinks about people on TV talking about the real world and how tough things are for people once they get out on their own. Alan never bought that. His mediocre job manages to pay for all the computer parts and video games he wants. His car, as old as it is, manages to get him places. He has more than 50 channels on his TV. He couldn't ask for more. He knows that if there is something else he wants out of life, he will work toward it. He is, however, starting to not like his job at Pretzel Palace. He's gotten tired of the smell of burnt bread, melted cheese, and jalapenos. As much as he likes pretzels, he hasn't thought about eating one in a couple of months. He remembers that he saw an opening at Movie Mayhem the last time he went. The store has no food smell, is conveniently located, and will give him an employee discount on all the videos he wants. Suddenly, a thought comes to him. He looks at the email from Mr. Connors momentarily and hits the delete key. He grabs his coat and slippers and hurries out the door. He comes back 5 minutes later with a job application from Movie Mayhem. That is his solution. He decides on a new job, but with less responsibility, giving him the clarity of thought to work on his music. He takes the post-it note off his desk, crumples it, and tosses it in the trash bin. He'll call Mr. Connors and his dad in the morning and let them know he decided to turn down the position. Things will work out, he thinks. There will be other companies and job offers waiting for him when he is ready for them. But for now, he's going to enjoy the time to himself while he still can. He imagines where he'll be 5 years from now, living in the same small apartment, working at the same video store, and he's perfectly happy with that, because he'll be making his music, and that's all that matters to him. He will learn how to get better at it, and maybe even make a living from it, so he can continue doing it for the rest of his life. He goes back to his computer, points his mouse over the Impulse Tracker icon, and clicks it. It is time for his next impulse moment. All of the music featured in this story is by Mick Rippon, starting with the intro song being the 8-channel 296 kilobyte.s3m called T-Cozy. In the middle, we have the 31-channel 964 kilobyte.it working in progress. And you are currently listening to the 29-channel 222 kilobyte.it called Out of Control. Central!